It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Volume.
Nick Wright is about to stop by, but before we start with Nick, grab your phone, download the Game Time app. It takes 90 seconds. It's now the authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball, which makes getting tickets easier and even faster. Prices on the Game Time app, believe it or not, go down the closer you get to the first pitch. They have killer last-minute deals, views from your seat, anything you need, lowest prices guaranteed with a Game Time app. Zone deals. That's one of the things they have at Game Time. Zone deals. You pick the section, Game Time picks the seats. Big time savings. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with a Game Time app. Download it, 90 seconds, put in the code Colin, C-O-L-I-N, $20 off your first purchase. Terms, of course, apply. Again, create the account, code is Colin, $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest prices guaranteed. All right, bring in Nick Wright, probably every other week, and we just ramble for about 55 minutes to an hour. We're talking about a variety of subjects today, no particular order. Here we go. LeBron James' son is an NBA athlete. I don't think right now, currently, he's quite an NBA player. I think they would draft him, send him to the G League, give him a year. And Mick Cronin said the other day, the UCLA coach, he's not as quick or as fast as he was pre-cardiac arrest. He's not quite the player. But I've watched him enough, seen his hops, seen his handles. He's got a beautiful jumper. He's got a beautiful-looking jumper. I like his jumper better.
Right. I mean, it looks good. His shooting percentage is not good, but it doesn't look like there's a problem with it.
No. In fact, I like it better than his dad's. I think his shooting is very natural. Bigger players don't yet generally, you know, Larry Bird, KD, the exception. A lot of times, the 6'4 guy's got the perfect jumper, the perfect look, the perfect hand size. But Here's the thing, and I don't know how necessarily to explain this, is that this is the worst draft, maybe as bad as the Anthony Bennett draft. So as more mothers are telling their kids, do not play football, more mothers, this is in Los Angeles. I have a buddy that lives in Brentwood. He's like, I'm like an outcast for letting my kids play tackle football.
I was at the sidebar to it. I was at a card game with some Hollywood and finance folks, low stakes by their standards for sure, else I wouldn't have been able to play in it. And there was a very, very smart guy there who had enough money that when I was like, how do I know this name? I didn't know who he was at the time, but I was like, I know this name. So after I left the card game, I Googled his name and I was like, oh, you almost bought this baseball team like 6 years ago. But he said that like he was a very sharp guy. And he was like, yeah, I don't think football should be legal under 18 years old. And I didn't agree with them, but I'm just echoing your point that there are a lot of people that are not letting their kids even consider playing tackle football, particularly. I bet it skews higher income and things like that. But go ahead, as you were saying about Bronny.
Yet, you can get Brock Purdy in the final pick. Half the league is undrafted. Kurt Warner, Tony Romo undrafted.
Yeah.
The NBA is a global game. And people are suggesting there are not three surefire NBA starters in this draft. There's no two rounds. There's almost no players after the 12th pick. It's a cheaper sport to play. Hockey and football are expensive. It's a global sport. Is that saying that the NBA is so good it's impossible to make it? Is it saying our domestic culture is broken and our players are distracted and not skilled enough? How in the world could you have a global sport? We don't have a shortage of great baseball players, great hockey players. We're having drafts. Like every third draft is talentless.
Yeah, but I think it's actually more the first than the second, because the league is more talented now than at any point in my lifetime.
True.
So I think it is less that, oh my God, there's not good players. It's that the bar for being considered a good player these days is so much higher than it once was. And your pal Bill Simmons talks about this a lot, but like the guys who are now ninth men, you know, not that long ago would be good starters. Good. And if you look at some teams that we thought of as very good teams 20 years ago and look at who they had after their top four guys, it's a bunch of, huh? And so that it's an argument for expansion. It's an argument for adding teams to the league because the talent level right now is so high. Like you look at the Western Conference in the NBA right now, we have, as we record this, the Lakers and the Warriors are the 9 and the 10.
It's insane.
So think about the Western Conference and the NBA next year. And then I want to circle back to Bronny for a moment. So Minnesota is not going to be worse. I mean, I don't know if they're going to be the one seed, but it's not like all of a sudden Minnesota is going to go away. I'm just going to go down the standings. Denver is here to stay. Oklahoma City's only getting better. The Clippers maybe take a step back, but if they bring everyone back, why would they not maintain about where they are? Dallas seems to have figured out the Luka Kyrie thing.
They're even playing defense in Dallas.
They're playing defense. Luka's a top three player in the league, hands down. They're fine. Phoenix. So Phoenix could go backwards because of the age of their guys, but it's not like they're going to be a disaster. New Orleans is a young team. Sacramento is a young team. The Lakers, the Warriors. And then you have Memphis with Ja coming back. The Wimby is coming for everybody. And Houston was an exciting team. That's 13 teams. It's 15 teams in the conference. So there's just the teams are so talented and so loaded. I think that's about the draft. I want to defend the Bronny thing for a minute, sure, if I could. So what if this is... Can everyone, even the biggest LeBron James critics, acknowledge the guy's all-time basketball IQ-wise? Can we at least acknowledge that? That the guy understands how the game is played,
yeah,
and understands the NBA as well as anybody ever has? Okay. For folks arguing, oh my gosh, LeBron's putting his finger on the scale. He shouldn't. Why would he do it? He's hurting his son in the long run. He's undercutting it. I don't know that this is the math LeBron is doing, but it's just an idea. What if LeBron's thought process is, on this current trajectory, in today's college basketball climate, my kid is not going to get the development and improvement that he needs over the next 3 years to one day be an NBA player.
Right.
However, if I do put my finger on the scale and get a team to be at least somewhat invested in his development, then by the time I'm gone, he will be good enough to be a legitimate, stand on his own two feet NBA player. And so not that dissimilar from how Seth Curry went undrafted and then bounced around the G League for 2 years, getting multiple chances, I happen to believe, in part because of who his brother is. And then through that development, now he's a legitimate, really good NBA player. Would that have happened if he didn't get those opportunities that I think he probably got because of who his brother was? No. Do I think that is fair? I don't know. Define fair. Is it absolutely what I think I would do if I were in LeBron's place? Am I like, of course. If I can help my kid achieve his dream and he might not be able to without my help, of course I'm going to. And folks whining about it, like people in the NBA sell second round picks for $2 million. These are not like the hottest commodities. Like, oh my God, you're going to waste a second round pick. Teams throw them in willy nilly. Teams sell them. And so, yeah, I mean, what's going to hurt Bronny is he's 6'2". And I know Mannix and Shams and other people have said he's an NBA level defender. It's just hard to be a great defender in this league at that size. I'm not saying he can't be, but I don't think LeBron is being unfair to anybody in this circumstance whatsoever.
I think my example that makes me laugh the most is every time you're driving and you see a plumbing truck, it always says Johnson and Sons.
Yeah, of course. I mean, we can talk about it being problematic, but we've only had 46, 47 presidents in this country. One were father and son, the other one were uncle and nephew. Like, even up to presidential level of this country, there's nepotism. The NFL and NBA front offices and coaching staffs are rife with it. Those last names all being the same are not a goddamn coincidence.
Right.
It is because people, you know, the Kyle Shanahan, you know, being Mike Shanahan's son, and his part of his tree is Mike LaFleur with Matt LaFleur. And then, I mean, the Brian Callahan, Bill Callahan has two sons that are NFL coaches. Like, we're used to it everywhere. And for some reason, people are not as comfortable with it in pro sports. But we haven't seen this, I guess, because nobody's ever in the NBA played long enough for this to be a real possibility.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I thought there was sort of an ugly moment with Caitlin Clark when some former UConn players, you know, on a telecast were kind of taking shots at her. And I'm like, ladies, what? This comes across so petty. Like, she's dominant at college. And I've always had this basketball vibe, is that as long as you're a reasonable height. Now, there are high school guys that are 5'9", average 30 a game. They get to college, they're not big enough. Or sure. College guys, you know, the off guard that's 6'1.5", playing a two guard in college, he can't make it in the NBA. But if you're of regular, normal height in the league and you're going into, no defense has ever stopped any great scorer. Scorer, score. There was no Kobe stopper, MJ topper. Tony Allen was a great defender. And guys got their... they got what they wanted to get.
Of course. Yeah.
Is that, and I think that's transferable. I think there are certain things, men's and women's game, that are transferable. One of the first things I noticed when I watched her, she never looks at the ball. It is totally connected.
She's
to her
hand.
Always
looking up the court or at the rim.
She reminds me of the Mahomes where she's scrambling. Never really to run. It's a last option. He is always looking for people. A lot of guys, just the smaller guys, run to not get hit. Kyler Murray's yes. looking to not get hit. Patrick's yep. looking to hit somebody downfield. Big difference. So correct. The first couple times I watched her last year, I'm like, boy, she is, that's like NBA. Like that ball is, even college guys sometimes, you can see they're protecting the ball. She's magic. That ball is connected to her. Her court vision, because of that, is substantial. Like, and again, this sounds like, well, everybody can dribble without watching. There are players that are connected to the ball. It's
and
just,
by the way, if you think everybody can dribble without looking at it, go watch. Celtics might win the title this year. The second best player can't dribble with his left hand. Like, I mean, the idea that everybody can do it. No, they can't.
Yeah. Isaiah Ryder, I covered, had no left hand. He could not dribble with his left hand.
Isaiah Ryder. Prior to Caitlin Clark, I thought Diana Taurasi was the best women's player I'd ever seen.
Cheryl Miller for me.
Right. And I just didn't see Cheryl.
Yeah.
And so I trust everyone on Cheryl, but I just didn't see
last
her.
Last year of high school, like, 82 for me, 83. She was the 20. When you were in college, she was, there were arguments. Could she make the NBA? We would argue NBA, in college.
Right. And Griner was the most like awe-inspiring, but I thought Taurasi was the best. And so I have mass respect for Taurasi. But, and this is, I don't think anything Taurasi and Sue Bird said was out of bounds. I didn't think it was unfair. I don't think they need to apologize any of that. I think real equality comes with me being able to say, that's a bad take.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what? You had a bad take. And the idea, and I, listen, a lot of it is just as simple as, those are UConn folks. She was playing Paige. They rooted for Paige. Yeah. You know what I mean? There's real, that's my school. Got it. No problem. But the idea that Caitlin Clark is going to go to the WNBA and not immediately be excellent, I think is ridiculous.
Right.
I think it is. Now, is she going to walk in and be the best player in the league? No, I don't think that. Is she going to walk in and be an all-star level player? I would be shocked if she's not. I would be shocked. The look at the best men's players, their rookie year, they're good. They're not, you know, Durant. LeBron,
and that's 1 year in college.
And that, correct. That's the other point I was going to make. And for LeBron, none. For Durant, one. Duncan got 4 and was awesome year one.
Yes.
And arguably the best player in the league year two. Was finals MVP year two. Like 4 years, you know, and so... Caitlin Clark is not going to struggle. It's just a bad take to think well, that she is going to come to the WNBA and struggle. Will she dominate that way she did yeah. college basketball? No, but I do think the South Carolina, let me put it like this. That South Carolina women's team is, I think, probably on par with some of, you know, the bottom five WNBA teams. I don't think the WNBA has evolved to the level of the NBA where the worst NBA team would roll the men's basketball team. And she didn't, you know, she didn't beat that team, but it's not like she looked in over her depth. I don't think she's going to struggle at all. I think she's going to be really good.
Also.
And in short order, be awesome.
Also, her WNBA teammates are going to all be better than her Iowa teammates, meaning her passes, the finishing. Her teammates will finish at the rim. Her teammates will hit the shots.
Right. I mean, Indiana got the number one pick last year and got Aaliyah Boston, who was the best player on South Carolina a year ago that lost Caitlin Clark. Yeah, I mean, that is the other thing that is going to be maybe her scoring is going to, and field goal percentage is going to suffer in the short term.
Yeah.
Her assist percentage will not, because she is going to be playing with the most talent she's ever played with by a mile. By a mile. And so, yeah, I think this is a super exciting moment for women's sports. And I'm really, and I always, here is where I think the American viewing public deserves credit. If it's awesome, we'll watch it.
Yep.
Flatly.
Period.
If it's awesome, we'll watch.
Yep.
It doesn't really matter the sport or the gender. If it's awesome and the stakes are high, we can tell that's dope. Let's get invested.
Yep.
And so that is where the television ratings are pretty honest when it comes to big events and how much people care. And so I don't know what the ratings and stuff will be for the WNBA, but I know that right now people like this word is, I think I've said this to you before, the only time this word is ever used is in reference to college sports, but it's the right word. Pageantry. People do like the pageantry of college sports.
Yeah.
They like it. They like the school spirit. They like the band. They like the fact that they're young people, but old enough to not be, you know, making terrible mistakes, but young enough, like, yo, they might airball this open shot. Like, he might miss this extra point. It adds a lot of drama and things to it. And people like getting to know teams and players and going on rides with them.
Yes.
And the men's game, it's gone. And so void is now being filled by the women's game. Mm-hmm. Like people, like one of the reasons this women's title did such crazy numbers is because we've been invested in Caitlin Clark's Iowa team for 2 years now.
Yes.
You know what I mean? There was a story. Oh, they beat South Carolina and Dawn Staley last year when they were undefeated. Now is they're going to get their get back. You get to go on the ride with them. And so, and the men's game doesn't have that coming back anytime soon, and people want it.
Now, I will
people
say,
want it.
I was talking to somebody yesterday who played college basketball. He said the NIL, you know, the G League Ignite got booted.
Yeah.
The NIL is going to keep kids that would normally have not given college basketball a chance. I do think that will incrementally, perhaps granularly, help college basketball a little. Zach Edey, great for 2 years. Look at the ratings. UConn, great for 2 years. Look at the ratings. 90% of money in Hollywood is on remakes. So I do think women's college basketball has a continuity edge. I mean, this is what Ali had. He fights Norton. He fights Frazier. He gets his, you know, he wins there. He loses there. Boxing had this forever. UFC's had this. The rematches get, this is why the minute somebody loses, they talk rematch. College basketball has a rematch problem. But I do think, as much as people, it fosters insecurity and angst, the NIL eventually will land with, it actually helps college basketball a little bit.
Oh, I think, yeah, because if you can get people to stick around for an extra year and have more of continuity, that's what people want. People want to, you know, go on these rides with you. And it's something that I think the NBA suffers from a bit right now, which is people, you know, listen, I obviously wasn't, you know, I was a little kid in the 80s, but I'm enough of an NBA historian that I know, like, people want, like, they watched the Pistons come close and come close. And I understand they made tweaks, Aguirre and Dantley, you know, got it. And then they finally break through. And it's the, you know, it's Isaiah and Dumars and Laimbeer and Rodman. It's you were invested in it. And then the Bulls went through that, say, they keep losing to the Pistons, they keep losing, they finally break through. It has been, you know, Kobe with the Lakers, he at the top, Shaq leaves, he has 3 years out in the wilderness, then all of a sudden, you know, back on top. Because of the, just the quickness of player movement in the NBA, didn't win, leave. You're not taking, going on that same journey that we saw Dirk go on, that we saw these other guys go on. And I think that has probably hurt some of the popularity of the league a bit. And I, you know, Clay said on Draymond's podcast the other day, I thought it was really interesting. He's like, I want to stay with the Warriors, but I might have to prioritize my mental health. And I'm like, well, that's a weird answer. Because you would, like, what that's saying is, yes, ideally I'd stay here, but I might be happier elsewhere. And so, you know, we could have 10 days left of Steph, Clay, and Draymond playing together.
I know. That's why I'm going tonight.
You know what I mean? I was going to say, you.
That's why I'm going.
This could be one of the last games they ever play together.
The Volume.
Thanks for listening to part one of the conversation with Nick. Don't forget to check back for part two.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.